Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
This is an incredible day for many reasons, not only because we're just celebrating the grads, but it is Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. What does that mean? What is Pentecost Sunday? I'll just put it out there real quick. It's the birth of the New Testament church, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But right now, if you're watching the 9 o'clock service, I want you to know that we are having a drive-through from 10 to 12:30 on campus, and we are having a communion drive-through as well as an honoring the graduates drive-through. And so if you're watching right now and you think you can make it out here, awesome, get out here. If you're watching the 11 right now, come on, get on out here, put it on your phone and stream it as you make your way out. We're gonna be doing communion as well as celebrating and honoring the graduates with a drive-through celebration. Today, as we jump into this message, we are bringing to a total conclusion today, It's Going to Be Okay, this series we've been in really since this whole pandemic broke out. And today, as we bring that to a close, I want to talk to you about the church. Because I know that it's going to be okay through all the things we're walking through. And you can go back and listen to the messages and tap into some of those sermons. But I believe it's going to be okay because, man, God is in control. And the job of the church is to let other people know that God is in control. And I believe this all my heart. As long as he is in control, man, things are going to be okay. That being said, obviously this week there has been a lot of heaviness on all of humanity, I believe, especially in our nation, with the recent events that have been taking place and feeling some of the racial tension that is beginning to arise from those events that took place. But I want to read something to you today, and I want to jump into this message, and I want to begin to help us understand the job of the church in these moments. See, in the midst of, man, so much that's going on, so much ungodliness that's in the world. So it's all that's going on with the pandemic, all that's, you know, going on with political things, and man, the racial tension we're feeling, and really the fear that you pick up from the media. In all of that, there is still an answer, and the answer has never changed. The gospel is still the answer to all the hurt, pain, and injustice that exists in the world today. The gospel offers hope, redemption, forgiveness, equality, and unity. The gospel does not ignore the facts, but brings relatable truth to all that exists, to the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. The church is the vehicle that God is using to get the message out, and today we celebrate the birthday of the New Testament church. Think about that. Today, Pentecost Sunday, we're celebrating the birth of the New Testament church. And the New Testament church, man, is the vehicle which is pushing forth the greatest message of all times, the good news about Jesus Christ. And although we haven't been able to gather together for the last 12 weeks, the church has not stopped existing. The church has not stopped moving. The church has not stopped doing its job. The church continues to preach. And most importantly, the church continues to have a voice because the church is you and I. The church, the ecclesia, it means the called out ones, the set apart ones. The church is you and I. So although we haven't been able to meet in a physical building coming together, which most people consider the church, man, the church hasn't stopped. We haven't stopped. We still have a voice. The church is powerful, and the church is moving forward. I want to read to you today out of the book of Acts about the birth of the New Testament church. Not going to read the whole story. I'm going to read bits and pieces, but I'd love for you to follow along. So get out your Bible, get out your app, and let's follow along together, starting in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And it says this. It says, "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I want you to highlight verse eight in your mind or in your Bible. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And he says, hey, I want you to go wait for the promise. And so I want to go forward now to chapter 2 in verses 1 through 6. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 of the book of Acts. And it says, on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, this is why we celebrate it, and now as the birth of the New Testament church. Now, to the Jewish people, the idea of Pentecost, although it was named something else, a different word in the Old Testament, already existed. And what it was a celebration of sorts. It was a celebration of feast. And they would get together and they would celebrate. And it was usually 7 weeks after the first fruit celebration. 7 weeks later or 50 days later, they would then get together and celebrate the Feast of Harvest, celebrating the wheat harvest. And they would celebrate this. Well, now here they are in this celebration of Pentecost. And the reason this is now known as the birth of the New Testament church is because it happened on this day. And so here we are celebrating it. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames and tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. I want to go to verse 13. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. Then Peter stepped forward and began to preach a message to them. Now, this message is pretty powerful. We're not going to read the whole thing. But I want you now to go to verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. And it says this about Peter's message. It says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you, to your children, and to those who are far away, and all who have been called by the Lord our God. And this is the birthing of the New Testament church. I want to talk to you as we conclude our series, It's Going to Be Okay, about the church, the vehicle that God is using today. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that your word is amazing. Lord, I pray in these next few moments, God, that we have together in this place, that God, you would just communicate your love. God, communicate your love through, Lord God, these screens that people are watching on. God, I pray that what's taking place in this room right now would translate to them. Lord, I pray you'd help me now in this moment create an environment for people to discover your son Jesus, know your incredible love, and realize the amazing plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 How many of you guys out there love celebrating your birthday? Now, I can't see your hand raised, but it probably goes something like this. That when you're younger, man, you love to celebrate your birthday. Matter of fact, one of my daughters is a total party planner, and this birthday gets you know, I mean, she's planning, like, if she's having like her 10th birthday, she's already planning her 11th birthday, man. The girl loves to plan and she loves to party. Now, when you're younger, man, you look forward to those things, but it seems like the older you get, either A, you don't look forward to them, or you forget about them, right? Like, have you ever had that moment before where all of a sudden you realize that tomorrow is your birthday? I've had that happen before, and I'm not even really that old yet. But here's the thing about birthdays. Birthdays are a place that we come to where we can remember some great things about the last year, but also begin to look forward to some things that are coming. Really, to me, the birthday serves as a point of remembrance, maybe a point to get back on track, a point to celebrate, yes, but it's kind of one of those things when you come to it, you begin to think back and think forward about what is going to come. Or maybe you begin to think about, what's my life's purpose? I've done that before on a birthday where I begin to evaluate. Here I am at this age and here's what's going on in my life, but what am I living for? Today, as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the New Testament church that we just read about in the book of Acts, I believe that it's so great that we service this moment as a point of reference to remind us what the job of the church is. Why does the church exist? And the church exists to be the vehicle that propels the greatest message ever known to man forward. It is the plan of God. So here's what I want to do. I just want to take a few moments and I want to share with you just a couple of things right here that we read today about the church. About the church. The first one is this. The church, number one, is God's plan. It is His design. The church is God's plan. Listen, we see it right there in Acts chapter 1 when the disciples are talking to Jesus and they're asking him questions, and Jesus responds to them and says, listen, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna receive some power, and here's what's gonna happen through that. The Holy Spirit's gonna come on, you're gonna be empowered to be a witness to all of these people. Listen, this is God's design. The church is God's design, it's God's plan, it's clear in Scripture. Man, it's clear through all of Scripture that what God wanted to do was He wanted to choose humanity to continue to carry His message on, and it would be called the church. We see it early on in Jesus' ministry. What does He do? He goes and He calls people to Himself. They're known as disciples. And He calls them to Himself, and He begins to invest in them so that when He departs and goes to heaven, the message will continue on. What do the disciples do? Well, the disciples receive what's called the Great Commission. The disciples receive this commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to make disciples out of all people. And what did they do? They put that into their context, into their filter, and said, what does that look like? And then out of that was birthed the New Testament church. See, the church has always been God's plan. It's always been God's design from the time that it started. He sets it all up right here in these verses. Here's the thing. Knowing that the church is God's plan, that it's God's design, we don't have to get super creative or super niche on how we get the message of God out there. God already did that. In Acts 1, when Jesus says to His disciples, here's what's going to happen. Listen, I know that sometimes, and man, I got friends out there that do it, I do it. Man, we try to think of super creative, super relevant ways, and I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with creativity and being relevant. Listen to me though, God already set it up. And the most relevant and most creative way that He chose to get the message out there was you. You are His choice of creativity. You are His choice of relevancy to get the good news about himself out there. The church, number one, is God's design. The church, number two, we see it right here in Scripture, must preach Jesus, must preach the gospel. Look at what it says in Acts 1:8. It says, you'll receive power to be what? Witnesses of him. Witnesses of him. The job of the church. Look, there's so many great things that come out of the church. I mean, even right here at Canvas Church, man, there's some great things. We got men's ministries. We have women's ministries. We have children's ministries. We have youth ministries. Pastoral care set up. And we even have counselors on our team that can counsel people. We go out and we do good works in the community. But all of those are simply tools and vehicles to preach Jesus. He's the message. He's the one that we point to. The goal of the church, the job of the church is this, is that we must preach Jesus to be a witness, it says, about him. I love what Paul writes to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and 23, it says this. It says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. This is what Paul said. But we preach Christ crucified. We stay focused on the main thing. Listen, the great thing about that is this, is there anything wrong with signs and wonders and power and wisdom? No, but here's the thing. When you give people the good news about Jesus Christ, when you preach him, matter of fact, Mark 16:20 says that signs and wonders will come and confirm the word of God. What does that tell us? It means this. Hey, let's stay focused on preaching this and let God, by his power, come and confirm the good news that we're preaching. Now, we preach Jesus, and guess what? Power comes. There's nothing wrong with signs and wonders, and great wisdom comes, but we need to do what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We need to make sure that we preach Christ and him crucified. Why is that? Well, because I believe that Jesus really is the answer. I believe that a life rested in Jesus is the cure to all the depravity in humanity. I believe that with all my heart. And so it's the job of the church to make sure that we continue to preach Jesus Christ. He is the answer. Jesus himself even declares it in the Gospels. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no one gets to God, the Father, except through him. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Say, Pastor, you mean every Sunday we talk about Jesus? Listen to me. Man, we have different series we've done. We have different subjects that we tackle here and there. But listen to me, as we tackle them, it all circles back to this. A life in Christ. Yeah, we've done relational series and we'll continue to do that. We're talking now about doing some things surrounding what's happening in our country. We're gonna do that, but listen to me. All of that, man, the answer will circle back to knowing Jesus. The church, it's God's design, it's God's plan. The church must preach Jesus. And number three, see this right here in Acts 1:8 again. The church is powerful. The church is powerful. Now listen to me, I'm not talking about an organization. I'm not talking about a corporation. Now, I already said it out there. The church, the ecclesia is the word there. It's the called out ones. It's the set apart ones. The church is you and I. So when I say the church is powerful, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. We are powerful. And no, I know that sounds kind of cool, right? I grew up in a movement, man, where I saw, man, powerful signs and wonders, and I love all of that. And there is power in that. I've literally seen somebody with blind eyes. I've seen their eyes open and they could see again. I've seen that happen. I've seen people with broken arms, and we prayed for them, and I've seen their arms supernaturally healed on the spot. I've seen that. I've prayed for people that were diagnosed with lupus. Had a woman in our church had lupus for 11 years, came forward in one moment. We prayed for her, and man, she was supernaturally healed, and that is awesome. Now, I've seen God do incredible things where couples were unable to have children, and man, with tears in their eyes, they came and they want prayer, and we prayed for them, and they get pregnant and they have children. Man, the power of God is real. But listen to me. I believe that the church is most powerful when the church begins to have a voice of truth that speaks out against injustice. Now, all of those other things are great, but I believe those things will follow the preaching of the word. But I believe that the church is most powerful because the church has a voice. You have a voice, and if you do not use your voice, then the power is stifled. Listen to what he says. He says, I'm going to give you power so that you can be a witness, so that you could speak something, so that you could declare something, so that when you see things happening in your world and in your culture, you don't stay quiet, you don't stay on the sideline, you don't come to a church on a Sunday morning and just lift your voice and worship. No, you begin to raise your voice and begin to speak out the truth of God's word about the injustices that are taking place all around you. I believe that's when the church is most powerful. I believe that's when the church is most relevant. And I believe that is the church that people need today. Listen to this. Listen to what it says in Isaiah. Isaiah 59:14 says this. It says, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far off. And here's why. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Why does truth fall in the street? Maybe it's because the church stopped having a voice. Maybe it's because our voice isn't declaring the truth. Maybe it's because we've got sidetracked and we're preaching something else. I'm going back to point number two. There's been so many times when people have walked through the doors of Canvas and sat in our services, and I'm sure it happens at other churches as well. But afterwards, as I'm greeting somebody, I get this, thank you. I'm like, for what? I said, thank you for preaching the Bible. And my honest response is this, I didn't know there was anything else to preach. Listen to me, if we don't preach the gospel, truth falls in the streets. And when truth falls in the streets, injustice and inequality exist. But we need to be a powerful church. And a powerful church is one that has a voice that declares the good news, the truth about Jesus Christ, and speaks up when injustice happens. And lastly, I close with this. The church, number four, connects people of all races. The church connects people of all races. I heard a statement one time, and I don't know the relevance or the truth behind it, but the statement was this. It said that the most segregated time is Sunday morning. That might be true. I don't know. Here's what I do know. That's not God's plan. And that's not God's design. Listen to what he says. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, I'm going to give you power so that you can be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. What is that? That's a gospel that can speak to anyone, any race, any country, any background. Why? Because the church connects people of all races when it preaches Jesus. Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. As Paul writes to the church at Galatia, he says, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I love what it says in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, as they were waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to empower them to be a witness, the Bible says that every nation under the sun was represented there. And that what God did in that moment, listen to it now, gave them a voice that everyone could hear and understand. The Bible says that they came together and were completely perplexed because they heard all of them speaking in their own language. The birth of the New Testament church unified. The birth of this New Testament church brought people of all backgrounds, all races, all faces together. Because the church is the vehicle that is bringing forth the cure to all humanity, and that is Jesus. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you today, church, to have a voice. I want to encourage you to be powerful. I want to encourage you to speak up. Use your voice for good. Use your voice for love. Don't use your voice to spew hate. Don't use your voice to spew disunity. Don't use your voice to rile fear and uncertainty. Come on, be a powerful church that uses the voice you have to bring calm in the midst of a storm, to bring certainty in the midst of uncertainty, to bring love where there's hate, to bring hope where there's despair. We have a choice, and I choose to be the church that God desires. It's His plan. Let's walk it out in a powerful way. Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes right where you're at? Just bow your head with me. And I'm gonna pray for two groups of people. I'm gonna pray first of all, I'm gonna pray for the church. Now, we've been talking about it for the last 12 weeks. Man, right now the church is needed more than ever in the midst of fear and this pandemic. But now in the face of all that we're dealing with even this week, and the tension in humanity, the uncertainty, the anger, the aggression, and now more than ever, our world needs the church that preaches Jesus, the church that has a voice that speaks out, the church that brings together all ethnicities. Let me pray for you, church. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that your word is so real, so relevant, and so timely. So God, I pray right now for the church. I pray for Canvas Church, and I pray for the big church, the church globally, the church that Jesus, you went to the cross for. The church that would rise up by design, a church that would rise up with a voice, the church that would rise up and be a place for everyone. I pray that we would be that. God, not just when we come together on a Sunday morning, but we would be that voice everywhere we go. God, we'd be that voice at our job place, we'd be that voice at our school, we'd be that voice, Lord God, as we're out and about in our neighborhood, we'd be that voice on our social media. We'd be that voice. It brings faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. So God, I pray for the church. I pray for everyone leaning in right now that calls themselves a Christian, that calls themselves a Christ follower. Let us be reminded on this birthday, on this birth of the New Testament church, let us be reminded of our mission. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.